Hello, hello. Welcome to Radiance by Design. What is your feedback about Amrita Cottrell's music? Is that not beautiful music? What do you feel? That's been the kind of music. We talked to her recently, but that's the music that healed her of breast cancer. That's how she learned to do that music, is working with music and vibrations to heal herself of breast cancer, and is now healing lots of people or helping a lot of people with their healing process. So I just wanted to say thanks, Amrita, for your wonderful, wonderful contribution to the world, and you are indeed a paradigm shifter. This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're listening to Radiance by Design right now. I don't want you just to listen. I want you to participate. And participating means we're going to do a bunch of exercises, meditations, and so on, and do some energy movement. And last week's show was about family, and this week's show is going to be about family, because I discovered it was very interesting for me last week. I found myself kind of, like clogged. I couldn't seem to kind of just roll with the subject of the family. I seemed to be getting congested inside. Well, that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Like, why did we choose to be born? How much did we choose? And why have we chosen that particular family? What is the advantage of that? What is the learning curve here? Or is it just payback time? Are you here to kind of see how many other things you've done wrong and then wear your hair shirt for life? We don't believe in that here in metaphysics, do we? We're transcendent, ascendant, and all of that. So what I'd like to do is start with structure, the energy, vibrational meditations of the structure, and I'd like you to join me in that. We're going to do the structures. We're going to develop the structure the way the guides tell me, because I never quite know how they're going to design it these weeks. And then we're going to take into the structure. We're going to have ourselves be very clear and calm and centered. And then we're going to take into the structure the various members of our family and see if we could see how we're attached to them, where are we attached to them. We might even find out why we're attached to them and do some clearing exercise. So our structure is going to take us a little while. We're going to talk about family, where they come from, some of the theories that people have about why we're connected with certain people in the family, how to benefit from our connections and find out what it is we're learning, you know, and how to clear it, so on. So we have lots and lots to talk about, and I'm really excited. We had some great callers last week. I think we only had two, but they were tremendously helpful callers. So I'm looking forward to more callers this week, and I'm going to give you the numbers after we've done the structure, because I'll bet you 100% of you come from families. What do you think of that? And families, of course, are like the molecule that develops the collective in a way. I'll have to think about whether I've said that the right way, but we can talk about that, and we can even argue about it on the air. You're here listening to BBS Radio. And isn't that fun? So now let's get to work on our structures, our meditational forms, in which we're going to see how much we can experience, or we're going to feel if we can experience the bondage or the attachments between any energies of various family members. And then we're going to shift them a little bit. It's not a bad thing to be aligned with or in cahoots with or in vibrational match with. But some of the harder things are to be in bondage. Oh, here's another thing the guides were saying earlier, is that in this time in history, the old paradigm used to be that we just kept going lifetime after lifetime, coming into these situations in order to deal with our, in quotes, karma, leftover stuff, or bondages with people and so on. But they said now, it's really interesting that we have the capacity to unhook. So you may absolutely love your family and never want to be totally away from them. That's okay. But you can unhook from the bondage part, those strings that really keep us trapped, you know, with people and with the strings between souls, or the strings between people, are the things that keep us trapped in reactive energies that make peace on earth rather difficult. Think of Cain and Abel. Those of you who don't know, they're supposed to be Adam and Eve's children, and Cain killed Abel right off the bat, and that was even before we had this massive onslaught of murderous television shows. They still knew how to do that, so we don't want to live like that anymore. We're trying to evolve out of that particular imprint and into a mutually generating evolutionary track, one that we take by choice. So let's get into our chosen little vibrational structures, all separate, but we're all together. We're moving together, and we're going to make some big changes. Are you ready? Let's take a few deep breaths. Relax. And let's intend for this show to call up a real awareness of what it is you're doing in your family of origin. What are the gifts? What are the bondages? How can you release yourself? And how can you release them? My intention is to illuminate at least a smidgen of that story, because that's a big story. And let's call in our guides and angels and higher selves, those beings of light, truth, and consciousness, the ascended ones, and the angels who work with us all the time. Let's see if we can bring them into our conscious awareness. Great. And now, above your head, perhaps 2 miles, focus on a golden ball. It's very golden, it's resonant, it's radiant. And below your spine, perhaps 40 feet. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball into the lower one, and it cuts right through your spine. Good, and you can often feel that filament of light going through. It gives you a real radiance. And now from the upper golden ball down to the sides, as if you stick your arms way out and they're 8 feet from your body. See, from the upper golden ball, drop down a four-sided pyramid, and the points of which are sticking out past your hands. So you got a pyramid over you. Now you've got a matching pyramid below you, but it's much smaller because your lower golden ball is only like 20 feet below. Now you're in a structure. Isn't it beautiful? Mine is all gold. What's yours? I think I really resonate with gold. Some people have different ones. And now inside of that structure, see yourself creating a beautiful crystal ball. It's just lovely. And the outside edges of this crystal ball touch parts of your structure. That's it. And now as you sit inside this crystal ball, what does it feel like? Pay attention. It's a very different feeling from the pyramid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very, very soft and womb-like. No edges, right? And now drop in further to be in your star tetrahedron. And if you don't know what that is, then we'll move to a double tetrahedron, which is a three-sided pyramid pointing up and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And when they meet together, they look kind of like a diamond. And there you are in the middle of this beautiful diamond structure in the crystal ball, in this tremendously huge golden, I guess it is a kind of a quadrahedron. Is that right? Octahedron. In any case, it's got more sides than the tetrahedron. We'll just say that. It's got one more side all over the place than the tetrahedron. And now be in that tetrahedron, that diamond shape, and you're in all these structures, and oh my, I can feel it all over my body. I just feel this incredible kind of wafting energy. Now spin in your tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin. Spin. Get it going real fast. And whilst you do that, see on the magical, well, let's not see on the magical screen this time. Let's call into our magical workshop your mother. If you don't have a mother, bring in whoever was your caretaker or is your caretaker, and have that person come on in and ask to feel all the energy from that person in your body mind. Mm-hmm. And now take a note, where is it in your body? Yeah. That's really interesting. I'll tell you where mine is after. Okay, then we call in. And you can tell me after, too. And we call in the violet fire, or you can use a spiraling platinum light, and just swish that through your body mind and swish that energy out. That doesn't mean we don't love our mom. What does this mother say, too, isn't it? It doesn't mean we don't love our mom. It means that we're trying to break out of or free ourselves from the bondage part where we have no choice. We want to create our relationships, not just have them happen. And now let's call in each of your siblings. Oh, call in your father first. And how does the energy, ask to feel all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your dad. Do this before Father's Day. And exaggerate that. And where do you feel it in your body? Pay attention. It's really important. And exaggerate it. Okay, now let's swish your body out with a spiraling platinum light. Or you can use a violet fire. Good. And now take a few minutes with all your siblings or aunts, whoever's really important. We'll just take a few moments. And you bring each person in and call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract. Exaggerate it. And then let's ask for help as we command total release of it, or swish the spiraling platinum light through your entire body. Okay. I'm taking in another sibling right now. And ask again to feel all the energy that comes from our soul connection. That's command, total release for that. Some of them are really hard. I can see somebody going through a kind of a hatred thing. I'm not experiencing that right now, but I can see that somebody is. So just bring it up and really feel that. Really bring up that feeling. Notice where it is in your body. And now again, we call in our angels all the time for this help. And now let's call in that spiraling platinum light and swish your body out. Because hatred is another way to align ourselves and make sure that we come together lifetime after lifetime. In Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, they talk a lot about the energy healing that goes on when people are between lifetimes and where there is, for example, dissension or hatred. That, to a degree, gets unhooked over there, but not fully. You probably are going to come back to reenact the scenario. So what we're asking for today is if we can clear it now in our little special workshop. Yeah, there we can. Look, I can feel that one shift. Yeah, and we don't have to keep coming back. Okay, let's do one more and then wrap it up because we haven't got time to sit here all day with all the people on the planet. And this is very individual again. Yeah, ask to feel where this person is in your body, mind, emotional self. And let's ask for help as we command total release of this person's energy now. And swish your body out with a violet fire or a platinum spiraling light or both. Mm-hmm. Now, did you notice where these people were? Okay, so let's come back into the room. Let's spin yourself a few more times in your double tetrahedron or your star tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin and spin. Excellent. Now come back into the room. Now I'm going to give you the numbers. I hope that you'll call in and talk about family and who you're attached to. And you know, it's really interesting because in our family, sometimes we're born to be with certain people that we just really dearly love. And that's really important. So we have this kind of generous feeling of mutual support and love and so on. But very often in families, you find that there's issues of power and issues of domination and issues of what? Sometimes I find there's things like a deep, deep anger. And sometimes you can tell that the anger is so incredibly intense between, two family members, we'll just say siblings or something. The anger is so incredibly intense, especially from one side, and then you realize that there's some unfinished business there. This person's really mad and is back to try and get that thing resolved. And sometimes it can be just absolutely blindingly impossible. How many of you are having issues like that? And also there's another thing. It's like, well, one of the things we're going to find out today is what, or I hope we're all going to be able to find all of this out in a minute. Wouldn't that be great? What exactly are you doing in that family? What is it you're trying to learn? What are you trying to heal? Because I think vengeance and that sort of thing is way out of our league now. We want to get free of, we want to be in a self-styled, self-creating kind of reality rather than one in which you're just tethered by something that might have happened eons ago and who knows on what galaxy, you know what I mean? So call in with your family issues and our discussion of family. And it's 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, call at 888-810-8322. 888-810-8322. And the direct line is 530. And I guess that's for you guys that are in different countries. So call us, 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. And how do we find out what we're really doing here? How do we find out what you are trying to do in that family? I don't know how many people. I've been doing readings for many years, sessions, energy sessions, transformational sessions. And I have more people that will say, you know, I feel like an alien in my family. I'm really different, and they don't know what to do with me. How many of you feel like that? Put your hands up. I see a whole lot of you, huh? All right, so what's the purpose of that? What were you thinking out there when you chose to come back in with these people? My understanding is it's easy to say, I just chose that, but I think there's another way in which we come together with people. I think there's kind of an unconscious drive. What do you think of that? I think we get pulled in a way, by these little streams of energy that are deep within us. So let's see. And also, the guides were talking about something else before as well, is that the universal understanding, we don't know everything. You know, we think we do. If you read enough books, you'll know nobody really knows, right? Because what the guides keep saying, and this is something you all have heard, is that the truth is actually quite subjective. So even the rapport that the angels and guides have with source energy differs from each one of those. It's an alignment, if you want, it's their family. And their soul groupings are based on kind of mutual intention, but more than that, it's on like vibrational compatibility. And I believe that their compatibility flows to accomplish something in particular. Like this, what we keep hearing is an awful lot of beings paying attention to what's happening on planet Earth right now. So a lot of the beings of light and of consciousness and the ascended ones and so on are very intentionally involved with what's going on planet Earth and intentionally involved with our conscious, what is it, conscious life creation, conscious self-creation and so on, to see whether we can actually come out of the muck of stuff that's been encoded in us so that we've been like running programs for a long, long time. But we're now coming over out of this time and we're going to move out of a combative, nasty, kind of blind attitude, you know, when people are just fighting for their life, and into a real creating our reality time. And a lot of these beings of light and consciousness want to work with us, and they want to work with us to help us get there because it really benefits the whole universe. I heard from somebody yesterday that apparently we're the last beings in the universe to be in combat, and I don't believe that, actually. That's a wonderful goal, though, isn't it? But I believe this, that there is an awful lot of galactic communities, if you will, that have learned to live in peace. I believe that. But I don't think we're the last ones out there that are living a rather low consciousness existence when it comes to world peace. What do you think about that? Anyway, they were talking a lot about how they also are in groupings that have a lot to do with evolution. They have a lot to do with the levels of consciousness at which they are, because I gather when we pass, what we've all learned, actually, is we're going to keep growing and growing and growing. The process of learning who you are and whether you can be sovereign over yourself is only just beginning here on the planet. When you pass through, you'll continue to grow and grow and grow and just keep growing more and more and being in different levels. So some of the guides that I see, I haven't talked about this for a long time, but when I used to do my first big connections with my guides and angels, I used to see this being called David, and he was, he looked a certain way. He looked kind of human, but I could see through him, and he could morph a little bit. I loved him. He used to take me places and talk to me and so on. But, you know, when it got to be time, he almost like put his arms out wide and backed up, and then the picture got bigger. And then I began to see kind of gatherings of beings. And then they would show me, and this is often something I get in my visions, they would show me connections which are like streams of golden light, like really strong filaments of light, that would go from, for example, one being who was very high. I knew he was very high. How did I know? Because I know. You know, you just know. And he was connecting these streams to a whole level of beings who were below. And then this David that I had become very fond of was lower yet. And he and I were in bonding. But I saw other people I know who were involved in several of the other levels. So I started to realize is that some of them, it's just like this. You've got a hierarchy. You've got some people that are teaching many, 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 many individuals, and we're all a part of their class, and some who are really aligned with just you. And by the same token, they work together. They come together and they coalesce in groupings in order to make a big difference somewhere. And then they move on and they might separate out. And then so they gather like a square dance. They gather over one subject or another. And I gather soul family-wise, we do that too. We come together. And I've read things that say families are always born in their grouping. But I've also read things that say they're not. Now, my guides say that's an option, that we get together some of the time. And sometimes you might be with your mom and dad and one sibling, and other times you might be with just your dad and a different sibling, and, you know, different lifetimes who are different expressions of who you are. So why does it get a little bit tricky in families, and how can we figure out who we are? Let me see. I'm going to look out there. Nobody's calling in, so come on, you guys. Call in. I like that. You see, it makes my life a lot easier, you know. But I'm going to take a look and start looking into it. Okay. I'm taking a point of view of someone who, as a soul, oh, this one's really interesting. I know this person, but this is not how I saw her. Okay. As a soul, she's very bright and very, very, very finely tuned. And she has come into a lifetime where she's with parents that are in a state of distress. Now, she's known these people before. They both feel very trapped and very limited. And what she's doing is she was born to them in order to, almost like, it's not to save them. That would be the first thought, wouldn't it? But it's not to teach them and save them as much as it is for her to refine. Goody, I'm just going to finish this thought and then you'll be on the air. Her to refine the qualities that she has, which hold a comprehension and understanding of the process here. And I see her soul light is all green and gold, has some purple and has some light blue in it. And they show that as she goes through this life with these parents who are very, very difficult, and she's had to lower her frequency to be with them, then as she comes out, she's going to be absolutely radiant because she's understood something that she's seeking, which is a refinement of her comprehension of this third dimension. And then I gather she's going to do something with that, but we haven't been given that information yet. So thank you for your call. You are on the air.
Oh, hi, Veronica.
Hi, Ted. How you doing?
Yeah, you recognize my voice.
pretty good
today. I've
heard it before, Ted.
Today. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty up today.
Good.
I did that exercise when I thought of my Aunt Louise and my dad, I got a little stomach pain there a little bit.
Okay.
So I don't know what to do. I just sort of asked to let go of it.
And did it go?
It release.
Did it go?
I'm sorry?
Did it go?
No, not particularly, but it's gone now, so.
Okay. You know what's really interesting? Do you have any siblings?
I do, but only by kind of blending families.
Do you have a sister that you're close to?
No, no. I have a brother, and he's very distant. I mean, I haven't heard from him in years and years.
And you don't mind that?
Well, I'd like to connect, but I there's no way for me to connect, so I can't.
Okay, so here's what's funny about Aunt Louise, okay? Did you sense anything around your throat with her?
No.
Okay, what else did you sense in your body?
Just my stomach, you know. It's a familiar thing that happens. My stomach gets a slightly, out of sorts a bit.
Is it your stomach or your belly?
Well, I don't know. I always think about the same. I guess it's, you know, above the belly button, below the rib cage.
Okay. So that looks like your stomach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you know that that's your personal power center, don't you?
Right, right.
Because the guides were saying this, that that's the way the souls connect with... I mean, I have to jump around because they say that coming in through the chakras, or the chakras are the way we connect our energy one to the other. You know that.
Uh-huh.
And that chakra, as you know, is your power center.
Yeah, and I have had some difficulty feeling my power the last, especially yesterday. Boy, oh boy, it was kind of tough with my students. I get these sort of macho guys in continuation school, and I just, I get triggered.
Mm-hmm. What do they do, challenge you?
Yeah, they do some of that. Yeah, and they just try to get by with stuff, and I don't know. I just get triggered. And today,
so what did they say? Give us
an
example
that does it particularly.
And I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I just didn't. The behavior didn't come up that does it that much. And I ask for help. I get asked for help from my angels and guides and Archangel Michael and stuff. You know, I think that seems to help.
You sound so cynical today, Ted.
I'm sorry?
You sound a little cynical today.
Oh, really? I don't know. I don't know that I feel cynical. It's just, well, you know, part of it is just their teenage thing, you know, and part of it is, I think, cultural, too.
Are these Mexican kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me this when
they're continuation kids, too, you know. And continuation school.
Or is that like GED?
No, it's more like, you know, kids are just, you know, they wouldn't be able to make it in regular high school.
Oh, I see.
So rather than flunk them out, or if they've gotten in trouble too, I guess, sometimes.
So tell me this. What was the issue that triggered you yesterday?
Well... That was, it's actually a leftover from Friday, and the guy who, you know, just is a, you know, always a problem. He says, I wish you weren't here, you know, because I'm just doing a long-term sub there. And it's kind of bothered me. I think it's the external that triggered my internal insecurities.
Well, so what I was going to ask you is if the stomach reaction reminded you of how you feel about your dad, between you and this guy, was it similar to your dad's energy?
Yeah, there's some of that. Yeah, I think so. There's always that thing of not being enough.
And that came from being a little boy, did it?
Yeah, that certainly came up, as a kid a lot.
And can you call up this fellow... Here's the thing, is call up this fellow in your mind's eye right now. Just call him up.
Okay.
Feel him in your body.
Yeah, I can sure visualize him pretty easily, sure.
Yeah, and you could feel him in your body?
Energetically? No, not so much.
I can. Giving me a tummy ache.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Well, let's exaggerate. But that, what I wanted to say to everybody is how interesting it is that, for example, if you had an attachment with your father and it was really having an impact on your solar plexus, then mm-hmm. it's going to be pretty easy for people challenging you to have the same. You see, this kid, it was challenging your power.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same as your dad's energy. That's why it's really helpful to do the mom and dad.
Because
you're going to run into that energy in a store. You're going to go, oh, there's my dad's energy. Okay,
yeah.
So I got to clear that. Because ideally, you could clear it and then deal with the student with a
yeah.
little bit more peace in yourself, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you know what else is interesting? When you're talking about Aunt Louise,
uh-huh.
I saw a huge thing around your throat.
Really?
Now, you're not saying it's true, but the neck and throat are consciousness of self and synthesis of your own wisdom.
Uh-huh.
So she, and she was kind of resistant for herself, let alone you, wasn't she?
I'm sorry, with resistance for her?
She seems to have been a woman who couldn't take charge of her own life.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, you're right on.
Yeah. And so I'm saying that in a way, she taught you, she trained you energetically that you couldn't quite be free in your life.
Ah, huh.
And it's tight around your throat, and I'm going,
yeah.
Aunt Louise is a good place for you to start, honey.
Yeah, yeah, because that's sort of going on, yeah, that kind of goes on. In
yeah.
And
it's...
Job arena.
But the thing about you is that you're very, very sensitive and very empathic, but you have those energy patterns already set up. And if we could understand that, if we can clear these deep energy patterns, we won't have the same reaction when we're at work.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, it's been good. It was good today. I just had some positive stuff. I got they hired me for a job this summer, and it looks really good. And yeah, so I didn't feel that inadequacy that I did yesterday.
Okay, so I just want to say to people, it's not necessarily your inadequacy. It's kind of an energy training.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly happened with Aunt Louise. You're right. She kind of triggered that, I think, a bit.
Yeah, well, and it's the throat thing. I'm going, you know, that's where we synthesize our personal wisdom out of all our experiences, and most of us get a bottleneck there.
Mm-hmm.
And Aunt Louise has got her own bottleneck, which you absorb very nicely. Thank you very much.
Sure.
So if I were you, I'd call her up and feel it and command total release over and over until you get that little blast of shift there.
Okay.
And then you have to phone us back on Radiance by Design.
Well, if I go into this, I recently had another one of these altered states with connected breath. If I do that while I'm in that kind of state, does that carry a lot more power, or does it make a difference?
No, I think it could probably carry a deeper power.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
It's very, very, this is a very highly, you're a highly charged man who's wanting to evolve right now, but you appear to be someone who was kind of trapped inside a cage of sensitivity for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And with a man, that can mean you kind of vacillate between being kind of hard and unfeeling and way too feeling.
Uh-huh.
And you're moving out of that. So all the ways that you do this are going to be deepening and deepening and deepening. And I love that when you do the connected breath and you do this kind of healing. Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, you're tired. I mean, did you hear all the part about we're tired of being locked into the cycles. What we want to be is into self-creation.
Sure.
And I think it's time for you. You're coming into a really good time.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Yeah. And you get some recognition this summer. I'm not sure what for.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good.
It's good recognition. It's not just getting in trouble. Thanks for your call, Ted. I hope
All right. Yeah, thanks so much for being there.
All right.
Okay.
It was my pleasure.
Uh-huh.
You know,
Bye-bye.
It's funny. When Ted was talking, I just realized something. Is the guides had been talking to us earlier about romance. Now, this is a different approach. But I want to kind of talk in a spiral here. In families, we come together as souls, and we all have different ways of interacting. Now, intrinsically, there should be a bonding and a love. Okay, that should be there. It isn't always, is it? But that would be ideal, that we at least have that, even though there are altercations and there's bondages and so on and so forth. But I was realizing as Ted was talking, or as the guides were talking earlier about romance, that in these groupings, in these family groupings, we can actually move into a deeper feeling of, for example, bonding or love. Because the guides were telling Bob and I a while ago that romance is really more than what it appears. Romance, I'm talking about setting up a kind of a vibrational place to go together or to experience, not just Bob and I, but anybody, that they say that when you go into that, consciously and let yourself go in farther, it can take you into a deepening awareness of a very magical universal space. And when I was watching Ted, intuitively I realized that that's true for many, many emotions amongst people in family. Like, for example, Aunt Louise. The bondage between Ted and Aunt Louise is keeping both of them thwarted. And they're not probably going to get together and actually sort this out, because I don't think Aunt Louise's vintage is going to let her do that. I don't even know if she's still alive. I think she is, actually. But she doesn't look like she would be receptive to this kind of exploration. But the reality is that should they be able to come together and really go into that place together, just really focus in it, they would have both found an opening within which would have let them fall deeply into a much greater sense of self. Because that's what's blocked with Aunt Louise, and that's what Ted is working on all the time. But imagine if our souls in families, if we were able to do that dance where we came together around specific feelings or specific blocks. Like with my own, I did a really interesting dance in my structures. I found that my different people, of course, impacted me differently. So one person, well, I'll say my mom, who's on the other side now, had a deep impact on my stomach and my belly area and on my, are you ready, third eye. Because there's a whole thing about my mother and our soul journey and my being an intuitive. And that might be where we came together, of course, in the belly, which is subconscious and all that, and so on. And I'll be with you in just a moment. Thank you. But then I was with my dad, and all of a sudden my chest really hurt. And I realized that there's something between my dad and I about love. Now, I don't want to go into a whole bunch of personal stuff here, but I'm going, you know, it's because we come together through the chakra energy, it would be really good to get those feelings and then sit with yourself and really enter into that place and see what it is. It's not just simply love, because love is very complex the way it's recorded in the chest, is it not? I mean, there's a lot of loss and sadness and karmic grief and fresh grief and all of that. But I believe this, that we can enter those connections and really dig in. Now, we have a caller, and I'm delighted, so I'll get off my talk here and talk to you, because you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. This is a wonderful intuitive, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering, why do we choose sometimes pretty difficult family situations? I know you hinted to it, but can you speak a little bit more about that?
Well, in your case, it's as if you have a... Okay, now everybody's got different soul drives. Okay, I've read that we don't, but I think we do. So, and my guides are showing immediately that you have a drive deep in your soul to refine, to do a lot of fulfillment in this life. You have to fulfill old attachments and experiences you had to with your mom. It must have been very difficult with her, and it looks like it's fine. You did a good job, but you had to come to fulfillment with her. And you are here to do that. It seems to me that by the time you finish this life, which hopefully will be a long way from now, you have completely been able to separate yourself from all of these people that you've called siblings or uncles or parents or grandparents. And I mean finished your karma stuff totally. I mean, you're really here on a fulfillment. The other thing they show with you is that you've had some kind of damage. You could have gone crazy sometime back. Now, I know you didn't, but you've been really damaged on the nervous system level.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you've turned that into a stronger sensor and a stronger gift. And that's been the narrows that you had to go through, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you chose that personal refinement through this family. I don't believe you have to be with them again at all. One of them you do, but it's really loving. I think it's your dad.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that was one who's very loving, yeah.
Yeah, well, I see that you'll be with him again, but it will be because we talked about this earlier, that we choose to be with some people because it's so loving and we're just glad to be there. And you've got some of that coming up with him. But I feel excited about your life because when I look at the confusion, the hurt, the near damage, and the damage, you know, and then I see over here you coming free and being very, very light and fun and funny, like, wow, I'm so unencumbered. And I believe that's what you came for.
Mm. And that's why some more difficult lessons.
Terrible. Well, I want to say terrible. Some of them were really hard. And I want to say this also for everybody at home, that in the stretch that you had to go through, there were some real life and death issues for you. You know, like you chose to live through things, but the damage was quite deep, and you could have just lost it entirely. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm, yes, thank you. Can you say something about my uncle, maybe?
Now, he just, oh my, he's quite happy now. He just left, didn't he? He just left this.
Yeah, he just passed a few months ago, yes.
And he was an older gentleman.
Yeah, in the 90s.
You know, he loves you very much, and he made three, I can't tell what they are, I don't think. We'll try. He made three very great mistakes before he left.
Mm-hmm.
And was he 93?
92 and a few months.
Yeah, okay. Because he said around 92 is what he's saying, almost 92. Anyway, he made some big changes, and he trusted a woman who was not trustworthy. And for that, he is deeply, deeply ashamed, very sorry. He thought that he loved her. He thought that she loved him. And that he thought love meant this sort of thing, and it didn't, you know. He basically got bamboozled from about 91 till he passed. Do you realize that?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say bamboozled, it's like they would get, not just she, there was a man as well, and they would get him mixed up, and then they would get him to do whatever it was they wanted, which in this case was signing certain papers, right?
Yeah, thank you very much for your wonderful insight. It's always wonderful.
Well, thank you for calling. I hope that was kind of depressing. Did it help a little bit?
Yeah, yes, it helps a lot. And you say he's happy now.
He's very happy, but he's sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually quite peaceful that he's there. He was feeling terrible.
Mm-hmm. And did I help him a lot in the whole transition process?
Yes, he loves you very much, you know. He's the one that you will see again, and you did help him a great deal. What we could say was the great betrayal was his losing his sense of ethics and not being able to see what was going on. He lost all that. But on the soul-to-soul level, you and he are in very good shape.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's different levels. That's interesting in families, no?
Very, very different levels. Like, he's not one that you don't ever want to see again.
Okay, thank you so much. You're wonderful.
Many blessings to you.
To you too, bye.
Bye. Now that was interesting to me because he, there was a love there. See, here's the anomalies or the strange stuff with soul people. That sometimes the stuff that we put each other through is so horrendous, but sometimes those are the people that love each other a lot. Now, I don't think he himself put Elysia through stuff. He did right near the end because he was not connected any longer. But he has made her stronger and a bigger soul than she ever would have been before. And he loves her dearly. I just see his love just shining to her. And he will be connected with her, although I feel like in the soul grouping, it's she with her dad that will connect very easily and will choose to make a life that's really interesting. I don't know, they can change anything. I'm just peeking beyond and reading their mail, aren't I? Anyway, isn't that interesting that we are, sometimes you're born into a family, you look around and you know these people. What did you feel when you were born? I remember when I was tiny, I'm not small now, I'm a very average size, but I was very, very small, and I didn't even walk till I was about 18 months or even, maybe even older. But I was talking in full sentences, and the thing that I love about childhood, because our childhood was a bit confusing. My dad was at university, and they had no money, and they kept having children, you know, one of those things. And I was weird. I was really different. I used to say things to my mother that shocked her and made her cry. I probably was doing readings. I don't know. I mean, because nobody seems to know what I said, just that I would speak and articulate in ways, and she would weep. I guess that was confusing. But I used to remember where I had been before. And the thing that I remember, and if you read enough books, you'll see enough stuff about this kind of thing. The thing that I remember was the radiance and the color and also the simplicity of love. I remember feeling like it was so loving and the colors were so bright. There was no way I could ever replicate those colors with my crummy little cheapo peacock crayons. They were before the days of iridescent crayons. But I spent a lot of time trying to recreate those colors and knowing that it had been much easier before. And then being with all these people and feeling like they're kind of strangers and they don't really know me. I used to wonder why they didn't all talk about what was way inside of us. It was all really interesting. Anyway, most of that didn't come back and be really vivid until I started being an intuitive. And that was, of course, after life had to fall apart and I had to release myself from certain programs in order to reach for that. But then the thing is that you're born into a family where the dissension is really strong. They don't want me or other, I don't even have to talk about me here. I know so many people now that I've done sessions for and so on who are intuitives and healers and so on. And they're often in families where their stretch or reach for understanding that which is unseen and unnoticed by others is like a betrayal to the family. It's like a smack in the face. It's like being crazy, and then suddenly they're going to have to protect you. There's a whole other level, too, is that they can be very afraid of what you see about them. But more than that, it's the bondage. What is it that brings the families together, where you've got one who has to reach as far as she ever most possibly can to break out of the collective of the family? Who in the family is going to love that? Because the collective of the family is their security, is what keeps them safe and strong. So then you have people like me or Alethea or various other people that have to break out of that mold, and that just messes up the family of origin. For those of us who are transformers and those of us who are, another word is disruptor, those of us who have to disrupt the complacency of the family of origin, are really, even though we're hurt by being shunned or ostracized or disliked or doubted or whatever it is we are, I mean, there's many, many shades of that depending on who you are, we need to see that we have caused huge discomfort for a lot of our family members. It's not like I'm trying to say, oh, you have to take all the blame. I'm not at all. I'm just trying to keep a little humor here and go, wow, it's really hard to be in a family with me when I was little and I was pulling apart everything that they thought was sacred. This is how life is. Well, no, I see through that. How many of you had that kind of experience? Our paradigm shifter today is a shorter pre-record than I normally do. So I'm going to keep talking with you, and you're welcome to call in. We're going to talk till about 10 after 5, probably 7 after 5. So if you have a call, call in. I want to talk with you about your family and what's going on. What I wanted to say also is, I'm just looking at my notes here. If you want to find out how you're bonded with a family, do the exercise that we talked about at the beginning, which is in essence, wrap yourself in light and stay in your center, call in your guides and angels, because you always want higher support than just your own ego or intellect or heart and soul. I know you're huge, I know that. So wrap yourself in light, do some clearing, and then call in your higher support, and then ask to feel all the energy that comes from one family member or another, or an aunt or an uncle or anybody that you're trying to work with, and do some clearing. But the other thing is to remember that where you get the tension in your body, where you find the tension in your body-mind, is really crucial. Because, for example, with my mother, it was huge in my third eye. And then I have a friend who's also an intuitive, and in her siblings and her father, it was huge in her throat, very like Ted and his Aunt Louise, because it's in the throat, and this person is a speaker. Right, so you could find ways of understanding where, you see, where the people who whose siblings and parents were impacting their throat with the way that their energy fields were lined up, that can actually thwart someone's creative expression journey, especially if they're speakers. And if they're speakers and the throat is all gooed up with dad or whatever, they won't be speakers until they get that unhooked. You understand? But it's also really important to say that, oh, then probably in that family you would find out that people don't actually say what's on their mind. See, you start to unravel some of the deeper fabric of this family of origin. What is it that they didn't feel right about? Well, they don't want you to speak. It's the convention of the family is not to say what's going on. It's to keep it quiet, for people to walk away from confrontation, but then the steaming undercurrents are still there. So this other person who had blocks in her throat and, in the throat from three different members of the family, was trying to pull out of the family pattern. And there, energetically, it's really obvious. So the person's trying to pull out, and the attachments are in and around the throat, and she's trying to talk. She's trying to be a speaker. So an intuitive, I might come along and say, you know what? You can't be what you want to be unless you clear your dad. That's why it's really important to get connected, or to really begin to understand what's going on in your body-mind that has come through your family of origin. So you could say that those constrictions taught her to push against it, to do some clearing, to unhook herself, to fall more deeply into her own center so that she could put her journey into the world more easily. So what's going on with you? I guess you're not going to phone in today. We still have time. You still have time for a call. You have to put up with my talking. So it's very exciting. So when you've got a wonderful love in your life, you may also want to... I have something else to say here, too. If you have a wonderful love in your life, you may also want to call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with that person and see where it is in your body-mind as well. Now, just everybody take a minute and do that. Wrap yourself in light and ask for help from your guides and angels. And pick someone that you absolutely love and cherish and you're really grateful they're in your life. Or grateful, yeah. You're really glad that they're in your life and they're really a key part of your life. And bring them in and ask to feel in your body mind all the energy that comes from your soul contract with that person. And now, where is it in your body? Where is it the strongest? Come on, take it. Usually more than one place. Is it your legs, your feet, your forehead, your third eye, your heart, your stomach? And exaggerate it. You know, I see one person and she's got somebody that she really loves and her knees are sore and her thighs and her sternum area are really kind of pressured and pulling as she pulls up this person that she loves very dearly. Isn't that interesting? And now, I would say, here's what I'd say by looking at her, that she has a deep inner, because of her life or whatever, she has a deep inner that says I have to keep whatever I love out here a little way. Because I see her, even her arms are out there, her legs are a little bit bent, her knees are kind of sore, her sternum is kind of aching. So she's not getting, see, if we say I just love someone, we don't actually get the clarity of love from ourselves if we're all defended. And I would say this person, who I don't know really, is so defended that where she's affectionate with someone, she needs to keep them at arm's length. She needs to keep them out there. She needs to keep her body in a kind of a self-protective stance. Now let's see who else we can see out there. Okay, I see a fellow over there, and he's bringing up all the energy of somebody that he truly loves. And again, he's all choked up. That's pretty interesting. And his shoulders are a little bit sore, and his heart is very expanded. It's interesting. So right in the center of his chest, his heart is very expanded. But his neck and his shoulders are really tense, and his third eye is all gibbled. So that's kind of interesting, because this guy truly loves this woman, and yet he's got these controversial energies in his body. So let's read that and see what that's all about. Yeah, and he feels like when you love, how many of you feel this way? That when you really love someone, holy mackerel, you're now really responsible, aren't you? You're responsible for, you know, what if they don't like you? What if they don't stay? What if they're not committed? What if your heart gets broken? What if that person's vulnerable and you've got to help them a lot? Or you're really feeling that love and responsibility are the same thing? How many of you feel that? That if you love someone, you're then very responsible. This person's actually calming down as we talk. The energy fields across the shoulders are starting to get softer. And the neck, the energy across the shoulders very often represents issues of responsibility. And in the neck is consciousness of self. Who am I? Now, you love somebody and you're really afraid that if that person really knows who you are, they won't love you the same. Then you're going to have this consciousness of self doodah going on, aren't you? And what would I recommend here? I would say, okay, let's exaggerate all of that energy in your body that's contradictory. So all of you at home, and some of you have got like stomach aches around love, some of you have a huge kind of radiance around love, and then some funny little leg things going on. What's going on with you? I think I'll ask Bob, have you got anything that's going on with you in your stomach? Your stomach is funny. Yeah, so then that would say to me, and I'll just talk in a very simplistic fashion. So if you have a feeling of love and it's expanding and then your stomach is feeling turmoil, then you and I know that that tells you that you've got some real issues of whether or not you're powerful enough. This would take a couple of questions. Either as a loving person, or if you're seen for who you are, would that person still love you? Are you adequate to be loving? Isn't that interesting? Now, the person I'm seeing over there who's got really a lot of expanded chest and so on, but her legs are collapsing, or maybe it's him, the legs are getting really sore. I'm going, is it very scary? Is it like a free fall to love? Is it really scary to, what I say in this day and age, or is it where you're at right now, to absolutely love somebody? What would happen to you if you really fall in love with someone? And that tells me that those legs are showing me that they just don't know if they have any support for that. And I don't know if the support would come from the other person that you love as much as it comes from that deeper sense of, see, the legs are clearing up as we talk. Usually that happens if you're actually hitting the nail on the head and really making the story clear, then wherever the energy congestions are will start to clear up, and this person's legs are starting to clear up. As we said, it's about how you feel supported by yourself when you're really loving. So now let's go back into the family. I mean, that's really a fun exercise to do all the time. I mean, if you practice this kind of exercise all the time, you could find out where you're attached to people, where your fears are, where your sense of responsibility is, and so on. And you can actually clear the energies. And you clear the energies as much by illuminating them as you do by some sort of major surgery. Okay, so let's move over to family of origin. How do you find out what on earth you were doing in the family in the first place. And not all of you have, I think maybe everybody does. I'm just thinking maybe some of you don't have Discord. Oh, goody, I have a caller. Before I go into family, I'll let you go into family. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Veronica. This is Kim from Louisiana.
Hi, Kim. You know, I was just thinking about you.
I just started listening about 5 minutes ago.
Well, so where have you been?
I was driving from the place that I stay back to the house to get John Michael, so, and they're still at the ball game, so.
You have a wonderful energy today.
Yeah, thanks.
Good. Well, so, we're talking about families and how you get bonded. How do people come together in family? Do you have a question about that?
Yeah, it was a love question. I was listening to you about, as soon as I turned it on, it was all about love. So you did such a wonderful reading about this guy that I'm supposed to be meeting and hooking up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was about, actually probably it was about 4 months ago. I think he's an old friend, and I'm trying to bring him back into my life. And I thought if I could kind of pull him in, you could read him and see if he is the guy.
You mean pull him in person or just now? In
well, pull him in and just now. You know what I mean? Like, I could...
we're, you know what? We're talking about a guy behind his back. You know that.
Uh-huh. I know that.
I think you've got a new guy coming, darling.
Oh, really? You don't think this is the guy?
Well, look, we can take a look at him. I don't mind that at all. But as soon as I look at him, I see this other one coming from another direction. He's somebody new.
Huh.
And he's adorable. But anyway, look at this guy. He's also adorable. Has he got a question about life right now? Have you seen him, or do you just have...
I haven't seen him. We have talked a couple times. We've emailed several times and then talked on the phone once. He's been really busy.
I like him, but he's got a lot of questions about what... You know, he's got a really good heart.
He does.
And he's got a lot of questions about... What something about involvement? What does involvement? You know, he's working on himself is what he's doing.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's the best. And he's got questions about what love is and how does it work and how's it going to work for him and what could he offer, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's quite ready yet, but he would be a wonderful. We
and he's the one. I wonder if he's the one that you saw, because even in December, early December, you said, yeah, I know he's not ready. Well, see, I'll just tell you, you know, like, okay. So he was widowed with an infant child, and then he just split up. He's in the middle of a messy divorce, and he's got a rebound girl. So he's really...
Talk about busy.
His
bases are loaded, honey.
And then here's me who's convinced myself that he's the one. So here I am trying to read.
I'll tell you something about the one, Kim. There's more than one, the one.
I know.
And the thing about, well, that should relax us a little bit, don't you think? And the other thing that guides always say is you don't miss anyone that's yours.
Right. I totally agree with you.
But every now and then they'll say, but it doesn't matter which lifetime. And you go, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go through all those lifetimes.
Right, exactly.
But there's another man coming as well, and he reminds me a little bit of this older guy.
Huh.
Not that he's an older guy. The guy you used to know.
No, right. I mean, he is 12 years older than me.
Well, the new one coming in is a little bit older as well, and he's got a similar kind of concern in him, but he's not as unsure. The fellow that you're interested in is very unsure at this point. And by the sounds of the shrapnel in his history, I can see that he has good reason to be unsure.
Oh, yeah, he sure does.
Yeah, wow, he's been through a lot. But you know what? That can make him an amazing man.
Yeah.
You know, when we're mating and we're a little bit older and we've been through something, you're not just trying to, you know, have a home and family. You're trying to self-actualize and share. But
right.
I'm glad you caught me, but I have to say goodbye now.
Okay, so the new guy... I don't know him. He's not in my life.
Nope.
Because there's another guy that I'm kind of an old friend that I'm kind of seeing, too, but...
Well, he's nice. I like him.
He's really nice, but he's totally dedicated to his wife. But I've seen that his wife, it would appear, is going to have an affair by the end of the summer.
Well, you know what, honey? I think this guy coming in is somebody new.
Okay.
But he has similar vibrations to both of those guys.
Cool.
So,
thanks, Veronica.
All right, honey. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, have a great evening.
You too.
Thanks.
All right, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, while radiance went over time, we're now going into paradigm shifters. And paradigm shifters is about a wonderful man in England. And this is a pre-record, and I had a great time talking to him. And he's been using light to create machines. One machine does healing for cold sores and viruses like herpes, and they're exploring its capacity to handle bacterial problems. And then one machine is for wrinkles, to iron out your wrinkles, which is an anti-aging process. And then one machine, which is really in the works of development right now, hasn't been proven thoroughly yet, but has been proven a little bit, is a helmet with the same kind of lighting process in it. And that helmet is helping people with dementia to reinvigorate the brain, so the brain capacity is improved. So he's a pretty exciting man. He's an inventor, like my wonderful partner is, and he's doing great things to be a paradigm shifter on the planet. And so I'm going to leave and let you listen to that. Now, I want to say also that next week's paradigm shifter is Liz Mitten Ryan, and Liz Mitten Ryan has onewiththeherd.com. That's onewiththeherd.com. She has learned to be in a herd of horses and really know what's going on, be accepted by them, to hear what they have to say and so on. She's a very delightful and wonderfully centered woman who really is in touch with spirit. She was supposed to be on before but got involved in some kind of cat rescue mission. So I'm really honored to announce that Liz Mitten Ryan of www.onewiththeherd.com will be on as my next paradigm shifter next Tuesday at 5 o'clock West Coast time. Tune into Radiance at 4 o'clock Tuesday. Radiance by Design, you can call in. We'll probably talk more about the family, and thank you for your calls today. And tune into Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. That show is really power-packed. We're all growing like mad. So much love and many blessings to you. Please enjoy Dr. Dugal, Dr. Gordon Dugal of Virialite, www.virialite.com. No, dot. I will say it on the pre-record, and you'll be able to get the proper web address. All right, much love and good night.